0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Danny Rule is the manager of the month for January, but he says he's eyeing much bigger prizes come the end of the campaign. Martin O'Neill is hopeful Celtic will get their full allocation for their Scottish Cup tie at Ibrox, and it's a huge night in Edinburgh as Hearts face Hibs in the Edinburgh Derby. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Killian Sheridan and Gordon DL.
Well, it's certainly all heating up, and it starts tonight, Andrew, a midweek card. Hearts v Hibs, what a cracker, Edinburgh Derby, looking forward to that, an important game for Hearts to bounce back, only sitting 3 points now in front of Rangers, Celtic just in, tucked in behind with a game in hand as well, and then you go into tomorrow night, some brilliant fixtures, none better than Fir Park, Motherwell v Rangers, after all the excitement of the Scottish Cup draw on Sunday.
Yeah, it is a massive week in the title race, Killian. I think we're going to say that every single week from now until the end of the season, but you just look at some of the fixtures tonight, an Edinburgh derby, we've seen the drama that's happened in the last two Edinburgh derbies this season, Rangers visiting Motherwell tomorrow night, Rangers and Hearts play each other on Sunday, Celtic have a couple of fixtures that they'll be hoping to take 6 points from, loads to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely, and I think probably Hearts slipping up against St Mirren probably gave Celtic and Rangers a bit of a kick as well. But like, what a better game to kind of kick it off again, especially after Derek McInnes claiming that, or not claiming, but saying that every game is now like, he's treating it like 13 cup finals. So that just kind of, I think, stokes the fire for it all as well. And what better one to start it off with than an Edinburgh derby.
0141 951 1025, we want to hear your thoughts. We are now kind of past that part where we're looking back on the weekend Scottish Cup action, and that's because we have some huge games to come this midweek, all starting tonight, an Edinburgh derby between Hearts and Hibs, another one that has big ramifications in the title race. So maybe you are heading along to the game, maybe you're a Hearts fan or a Hibs fan, we want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Of course, when it is the day before other fixtures, we do start hearing from the managers. We've heard from Martin O'Neill today, a lot of talk since that draw between Rangers and Celtic, the Scottish Cup draw, people talking about ticket allocations and all that type of thing. I know we like to get into that business, don't we, Gordon DL, on the show sometimes. Martin O'Neill saying he's hoping that Celtic can get a full 20% allocation. It'll be interesting to see how that one plays out as well.
Is that not the agreement in the Scottish Cup, that the away fans get 20% of the tickets?
It's not the agreement, but they can claim up to 20%, but there needs to be an agreement between both teams and the authorities. The police sometimes get involved. I think have sort of said today that they're going to leave it up to the clubs, but that's where it maybe becomes more of an interesting talking point, because we've seen the derbies over the years where the allocation has gone down to, you know, around 750,000. There are a lot of people out there that would like to see the allocation up higher, back to what it used to be like, 7,500, 8,000. This would be even more than that. So it'll be interesting to see how it develops over the next couple of weeks.
I'm not surprised that obviously Celtic are asking for 20%, right? Because you want as many tickets as you can. I know it's a little bit different now because it's obviously, it will not be in the season book, Andrew, so you can move one or two people about. Look, I don't care if it's Celtic Park, I don't care if it's Ibrox. I would love to see more away fans in. You know, I just think that playing in the game years and years ago, what the most exciting thing was the supporters. And those days it was obviously a 50-50 split. Obviously that's well and truly gone now. But it just adds to the atmosphere, it adds to the game, everything about it. Everybody will tell you, there's not a person that's been involved in that game will not tell you the biggest thrill about it, apart from winning it, is playing in front of that the fans in that atmosphere.
So we'll hear from Martin O'Neill on that. We'll also hear from Danny Rule. He was awarded the January Manager of the Month today. He was speaking about that. He was speaking about Rangers' options and speaking about what a big week it is for them. So any thoughts on any of those topics? 0141 951 1025. I don't know whether I should be questioning your judgment or not. You spent 2 hours sitting next to Gordon DL last week in your first Super Scoreboard appearance and still decided to come back. That's quite a choice.
Loved yeah. it. You loved it, mate, didn't you?
Glutton for punishment, yeah. Just what else would I be doing on a Tuesday evening?
Exactly. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. Before we start hearing from you, why don't we start hearing from some of the managers that have been speaking today? What about Danny Rule? He has been named as the Premiership Manager of the Month for January, but as I say, he has his eyes set on bigger prizes.
Yeah, it's a small price, and we'll have to season where we want to have a bigger price hopefully at the end, and let's see what we can do. I think it shows that we made a lot of things right in the last couple of weeks, but not more. It's about the next game. This is tough tomorrow. The season is still long, a lot of big games ahead, and for this it makes no sense to look too far away, but if we can continue our way, then yeah, there's a chance for more.
Yeah, it's the type of thing that all managers kind of say. They talk about it being a collective prize. But the one thing it shows is that his Rangers side are heading in the right direction. They won all four of their league games in January. Yes, then slipped up against Hibs in the 1st of February, but have continued that good form again in the last few weeks. He'll just be hoping that that can continue for as long as possible.
Yeah, he deserves it. Obviously, getting into a massive game tomorrow night. Let's not be kidded here. Motherwell, without doubt, are the best football team in the league. They're at home. They've had, what, 9 clean sheets in a row at Fir Park. You've seen when Celtic went there, got to say Motherwell schooled them that night in football. I think Rangers, I'll know they're in for a real, real tough game tomorrow. I think that'll be a brilliant game. They'll probably be a packed house at Fir Park. And I'd say the next couple of games for Rangers, Motherwell and then Hearts. So if they can get 6 points from that, it'd be fantastic for them.
Because as much as Rangers fans can take positives from the last two results, two home games, 13 goals scored, people will point out the obvious caveats there, that Kilmarnock had a man sent off after 4 minutes in that game, that Queen's Park are sitting bottom of the Championship. It's then about whether Rangers can try and take the positives and replicate that type of form going into two huge, massive games this week.
Yeah, I don't think Danny Rowell will be too stuck on scoring all those goals and the games that they were, given the circumstances in both games. One's against, you're at home to Queen's Park, where you're expected to win and win convincingly. I think probably his biggest thing that he's done, I feel, is just he's got them a lot more solid, like harder to play against, harder to score against. Although in saying that, Kilmarnock, they did give up a few chances to Kilmarnock in that first half. Second half, I think, a bit better. But he'll probably go back to the second half performance, I would imagine, rather than the overall, even the Queen's Park game. I don't think he's really going to reference that too much. It's nice for players, new guys who come in, get goals, build a bit of confidence. You get off to a good start. I think that's probably the biggest positive that he can take from those.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Billy is a Rangers fan up first in Milton. Billy, what is on your mind ahead of a big week of fixtures?
The big week of fixtures. Well, I said a few weeks back, I mean, that we would see how Hearts would go once they got a couple of injuries. And I think the following night after that, Cammy Devlin got injured. I think they've had another injury. And now they're kind of faltering a wee bit. Now, irrespective of tonight's result between Hearts and Hibs, come the end of the week, I fully expect to see Rangers top of the league, because I think we'll go and beat Motherwell tomorrow, as well as Motherwell are playing, and then I think we'll take Hearts on Sunday as well, and that puts us up.
What gives you that full confidence and belief that Rangers will be able to get those two results? Is it just the evidence of what you've seen from Danny Rowe's side of late?
The evidence of what I've seen, and the evidence of some of the players that he's improved, and the signings that he brought in January. I'd stated earlier on when I spoke to Hugh Keevans, I'd be happy with getting maybe a couple in first team and maybe a couple for a bench. He's brought in 3 first teamers, and on top of that, we've got Cornelius to come back, Connor Barn to come back. It's just going to make us a hell of a lot stronger. That's what gives me the confidence.
It will be interesting to see what Rangers' starting lineup is going to look like tomorrow, because Danny Rule, over the last couple of games, has chopped and changed things. But there's also the 4 new January signings. None of them started against Kilmarnock. All 4 of them started against Queen's Park. How many would you expect would be in from the start tomorrow?
It is difficult, because I think that Billy's right. I think they've got a big squad now. They're all playing for positions. No matter who you are, we've seen the captain, Tavernier, who's been brilliant for Rangers throughout all those years, been left out as well. Had a lot of time on the bench lately. I'll be interested, even the formation tomorrow night will be interesting, because there's no doubt, they will give Motherwell all the respect in the world the way Motherwell play football. He may just go there tomorrow night and tweak that formation. We've seen him doing it at Easter Road and sometimes going to a three or whatever. Or does he stick with his back four?
Do you think he could potentially go with two up front? Because he did it against Queen's Park. Or was that just more because it was Championship opposition?
Look, it's easy to go against Queen's Park, and no disrespect to them, with two up front at Ibrox, and you bang in eight goals. So that's an easy choice. Tomorrow night, he'll probably look at the way Motherwell dominate possession. And I expect Motherwell to dominate a lot of the game tomorrow night. Let's not be kidded here. They can play football. And it'll be interesting to see what his tactics are. I think it'll be a real, real tough game. I really do. I'm looking forward to it. I think Billy's right. I think if Rangers go this week and pick 6 points up out of six, they'll be in a right, right good position.
So do you not see much danger in that fixture tomorrow night, Billy? You look at Motherwell's form this season. They seem to be getting stronger as the season goes on, especially at home. Rarely drop points, rarely concede goals.
Without a doubt, no, I mean, Motherwell are playing some of the best football I've ever seen them play. Probably the best football I've ever seen them play in my lifetime. I mean, but also Rangers are improving rapidly as well. And as I said, with the January signings, it's just made us that much stronger.
Yeah, that is the one thing that any manager will want going into the January transfer window, is that come the 1st of February, 2nd of February, whenever the window closes, that your squad is stronger and you have more options than you did at the end of December. Certainly looks on sort of early view that Rangers squad does look better. They've certainly got more options. It'll be interesting to see how Danny Rule then utilises them for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think the cup game at the weekend helped them out massively, where he could go and he could take the gamble of playing two up front, where he can get minutes into players' legs, gets them used to playing with new teammates, his system, his style of play. And I just think he's probably come out of it. Like, you're always going to compare them to Rangers and Celtic, but Rangers fans generally seem to be happy with their transfer window. Don't really hear much about discontent or angry about certain signings. They've done it relatively quick and efficiently. And probably Danny Rowe, that's probably what the main thing he wanted, was to go in, start it, get it all done, and then he can just focus on kind of integrating players into his team, and he can kind of pick which fixtures, like the Queen's Park one, where he can throw guys in and get minutes in their legs.
I think tonight will play a part. If Hearts win at home and stretch that to 6 points again, it puts a little bit more pressure on tomorrow night. But if Hearts to lose that game tonight, what an incentive for Rangers going to Motherwell to draw level in points with them, with them come to Ibrox at the weekend.
Billy, who out of the new signings do you think has shown already that they should be starting tomorrow?
I mean, two Romans. He's only had cameo performances, but he certainly looks top notch. I mean, he's not a Belgian under 21 cap for nothing. And Chukwuane, Scott Wilson, you know what I mean? He's another fantastic player, you know what I mean? Just needs a bit of game time, I think. But all in all, I think all the signings have been decent.
Ryan Nadiri as well, do you think he could be the starting striker going forward? Does he get the nod over Yusuf Chumiti and Bojan Majovski for you?
Absolutely. No, I mean, he's the new battering ram.
I'll be interested in that one. Is Chirmiti fit?
Yes, Chirmiti and Emmanuel Fernandez will be back available for tomorrow,
right,
Danny Rose
well,
today.
He's got great options there. He needed a third striker. He had to obviously move Danilo on. Danilo wasn't going to play any part in it. Nadiri's come in, got off to the perfect start. Once again, we'll all say, well, it's only Queen's Park, but you've still got to put the ball in the back of the net. He looked like he was a decent player. I totally agree with Billy. The one that's caught my eye is the left back, Romans. I just think he looks unnatural. I really do. Okay, it's going to be hard to judge, and I think if he plays tomorrow night, he'll get a real test against Motherwell, because his two games, I've really watched him perform. Kilmarnock down to 10 men, thought second half when he come on, him and Moore doing that left-hand side were excellent together. And then obviously Queen's Park, he just looks, he looks the real deal, this guy. But like everything else, we'd sometimes judge too quickly. But I'd be very surprised if he's not going to be a success at Rangers.
For Rangers to find success, whether that is, you know, winning the league this season, are they going to need one of the strikers to properly step up, whether that is Ryan Adeiri adding to the couple of goals he got at the weekend, or whether it's Yusuf Chermiti or Bojan Miovski? Because I think Miovski and Chermiti haven't really hit the heights that people possibly expected, certainly from what Chermiti's fee was in the summer, what Miovski has done previously at Aberdeen. Is it going to have to be one of them or Ryan Adeiri to step up and start scoring consistently for Rangers over the course of the next 3 months?
Yeah, definitely. I think any time a team wins the league, the generally your striker will have about 20, usually minimum 20 goals. You're going to have someone firing all cylinders. But it is a very tricky one for players who are coming in, who will probably just think, Motherwell, like, that's going to be an easy game. I think new players that are coming in will have to really be aware of how tough a game it potentially can be for Rangers. The other thing is, it's probably the first time Danny Rowe is getting into a situation or a position where there is now a bit of pressure or expectancy on him and the team to go on and win the league. When he first came in, it was just more about steadying the ship and getting over the Russell Martin thing, which he done. And now there's a different expectation, a different pressure that comes with the team.
It's going to be the difference. If you get a striker there that's banging you the goals, and you're right, a 20-goal man, if you look back in the seasons that mostly Celtic have won the league, they've got guys scoring plenty of goals up front. And Rangers need that. Now, Majowski, I think, is on around about 10,
yep,
right? But four of them have came, three against Annan, and obviously Queen's Park, right? But I take nothing away. As a striker, you've still got to put the ball in the back of net. Chermiti, for instance, scored four. The centre-half scored more than him. So if Rangers, they're looking good now. I think they've recruited really, really well in the January window as well. This manager's got them playing the way he wants. He's got everything going well there. But for me, if they're going to just be that team that's going to win the league, they need that guy to step up and start banging in goals at Rangers number 9.
01419511025. Thank you to Billy. We're going to hear from Martin O'Neill next, so get your calls in now.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And we want to hear from you. 01419511025. A huge week of Premiership action to come, all starting with Hearts against Hibs at Tynecastle tonight. We will go there shortly to get the team news ahead of that Edinburgh Derby. Then four big games tomorrow as well. Lots to look forward to. We're going to hear more from Danny Rule. We're going to hear from Martin O'Neill in the next few minutes as well. Anything else that's on your mind, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's speak to Josh, who is a Celtic fan up next. Josh, how are you?
Yeah, right, Andrew, how's it going?
All yes, right. Not bad at all, thank you. What is on your mind from a Celtic perspective at the moment?
Yeah, so I want to talk about the contrast between the Celtic and Rangers performances at the weekend. I thought Celtic showed a good hallmark of going right to the end of the game to obtain the result. It was all about character, spirit, never say die attitude, like typical Martin O'Neill performance, really. That's what he's all about, isn't it? Going to the end and fighting for one another. But Rangers exhibited the free-flowing, confident football which we've seen over the last few weeks, actually, and the clinical, ruthless edge which has been built up over Danny Rowe's tenure. So there was a lot of talk about when Russell Martin was there was no balance. It was all out attack without any sort of focus on the defence, and the keeping clean sheets as well. So they're quite an efficient, well-oiled machine. But I think for contrasting reasons, they're both doing really well, both teams, because, you know, it's all about outcomes and results, and they're both obtaining that just in a slightly different way from a methodical point of view.
So from what you've seen, who do you think is sort of better set going into the final 3 months or so of the season between the two?
If I'm going to be honest with you, I still make Hearts my favourites for the league, to be honest with you. I think they've shown in the big games, and they've shown in their consistency, and they took people by surprise with how they've played. Like, you know, Derek's assembled a well-drilled, well-oiled machine of its own there. But I think between Celtic and Rangers, that mammoth week where the cup tie and the league derby is taking place in the same week, that could pretty much kill off someone's whole season through that week. So say Celtic win the cup tie and the league game, I think they could put Rangers to bed and vice versa. So quite interesting psychology from both teams' point of view with that one. But I still think Hearts, they're still at the top, they're still lurking dangerously. People have wrote them off, but I won't go there just yet with them. I think there's a lot of football still to be played. You know, particularly the game tonight, derby game, a chance to right the wrongs from their point of view from the other week as well, because they lost the game, didn't they, against the rivals.
It's quite incredible when you look at just the wee spells of fixtures that each team have, that you look at one spell and think, oh, that could be defining, and you look at a different spell. You know, Josh brings up that Celtic have that week of, you know, four big away games: Stuttgart, Rangers, Aberdeen, and then Rangers again in a spell to come. But Rangers this week have two real tough fixtures, and going to Fir Park and then having tabletoppers Hearts at Ibrox, Hearts with Edinburgh derby tonight, then going to Ibrox on Sunday. It's just going to be, from a neutral perspective, extremely exciting, isn't it?
It's funny there, because Josh said that the one team he fancies was Hearts, and you know what I mean? You can put up a case. Hearts have been top of the league for a long time now. They're not crumbling under the pressure, but they're the team I don't think will win it. I think it'll come down to the wire between Rangers and Celtic.
What is it about Hearts that makes you think they'll drop?
I think, for instance, tonight, I think they could maybe struggle tonight with, they're losing the spine of their team, three massive players for them. Halkett's out, suspended. Devlin, who's been outstanding for them, and Shanklin, your goal scorer. I know they've got Braga and that up there up front as well, who's very dangerous. I'd love to see Hearts going all the way. You're right, this season is so exciting, because we're talking about, you know, the month of March here, and the amount of games that are coming up, and important games. You look at Hearts and Rangers this week with two massive games. All of a sudden, we could be sitting here next Tuesday, that league table is completely changed. Where I think the excitement will come from, Andrew, and the real pressure, is when we get to the top six. Because I think that's the top six right there now. I think Falkirk are deserved to be there. I think they're going to be there. And when you look at those teams and the games that you're going to come up against, I think that's what will define who's going to be champions.
How big has the team's been able to cope with injury? Well, how big will that be in the next few months? Because, you know, Gordon brings up that example of Hearts, Devlin being out, Shanklin being out. Hearts looked as if they've coped with it to an extent, and then St Mirren came around. Mark Leonard looks as if he's been a good signing. Very hard to replace someone of Lauren Shanklin's qualities up front. And then even a suspension tonight in Craig Halkett, who's been Hearts' best centre-back, he'll be a real loss as well.
Yeah, I think Hearts probably, I was saying it before, where they got away with a lot in games where they were getting men sent off and they were grinding out like good victories where they've injuries, suspensions, playing with 10 men. And I think it just eventually caught up with them in the St Mirren game. I think if he looks back at it and you put all those games in front of Derek McInnes and said, this is what's going to happen before all of these games, you're going to go down to 10 men in two or three of them, you're going to lose such and such a player, and he'd probably take, and I'm only going to lose one of them, I'll probably take it. So he's probably happy in how he's come through all of that. But again, the Edinburgh derby is probably not an ideal game to be losing such a strong spine of your team. But I think before games, his biggest thing is going to be getting players up for these, how he's already described them as 13 cup finals. And I know he's the way he manages, the way man manages, he is motivational. He does get players up. And I think he's going to be a big part in Hearts' drive between now and the end of the season.
Josh, what are your early signs, your early opinions of Celtic's January recruitment and some of the guys that made their debuts at the weekend?
So, question for the lads about this in terms of our own players coming in. Yep. You can kind of go for or against you in that sense, where the players that are coming in are hungry to obviously prove a point and to make the mark on the team. But do you think it's got something to do with the fact that Martin perhaps won't be there next season? So players are coming in very much for the short term. Let's try and get the title one for this season, this short termism. And also, do you think Celtic would have been better off maybe going for one or two permanent signings? I know they've brought in Oxlade-Chamberlain, and that's great for the experience. People say, like, oh, you know, he's got a bad injury record and he might miss so many games. But for me, it's all about the dressing room environment, like Martin did this last time at Celtic. He brought in really big characters back in the day, didn't he? To sort of elevate the standards in training, the standards around the place. So, Gordon and the lads, what's your thoughts on on all of that, basically?
I think the Celtic supporters are a mixed bag. I've heard a lot of them coming on saying, look, we had the money, we should have went out there and spent. And then other supporters are coming on and saying, no, it was a sensible move because Martin O'Neill's not got to be there. We've got five loan players in. We're not committed to them. I totally get that. I totally take that on board. I was a bit surprised. I think they could have went out and spent a bit of money because we know nowadays that most of the recruitment is done and then the manager maybe have a look at it and say, right, okay, we'll tick that off. How many times has Brendan Rodgers really stood out and when he was a Celtic manager and done a press conference and you could tell that ain't his signing, right? And that's just the way football works nowadays. So whether Martin O'Neill was going to be the manager, and probably he's not at the end of the season, I still think they could have committed to one or two players and then the rest loans, and I think that would have balanced it up and made sense, and I think probably kept the Celtic supporters happy with the fact that they're spending money. But they're now in the situation because I just think that there's no point looking at the summer, Andrew. Celtic are now playing for three trophies. They're still in Europe, right? Okay, I don't fancy them to go and win it, but they're still there. They've still got an opportunity to win this league, which has got to be difficult, and they've still got the Scottish Cup. So I wouldn't be looking at the summer. I'd be looking at the here and now for Celtic, and because I think it's so important to them. Because if Celtic finish this season without a trophy, I think it's got to be worse off for them. And the fans with the board and the community, the fans getting together and everything gelling together like the club it used to be, it'll separate more and more because of the situation. Celtic are used to winning silverware. So me personally, I'd have concentrated on the short term rather than wait till the summer.
I don't think Celtic fans would really care as long as they're good. As long as players come in and
do you think it can matter internally at all? I don't know, from a psychological aspect, Josh was saying that, you know, does it matter as much to players that come in for 4 months and know they're leaving again in the summer rather than guys that come in permanently? Is there anything to that at all or not really?
I don't think so. I think that's just down to players individually, how they are. If a player's coming up on loan, generally it means, if they're coming up from England, it means they're not playing, they're not in a team. They need to get out and impress, they need to get out and play. And then, I mean, you could sign a player on a permanent deal and he has a bad 2 or 3 months and then he knows he's sitting on a contract. Player comes up on loan, they're kind of like, right, well, if I don't perform here and do well, I'm really in it. Then I'm going back to my parents' club, having not went out and impressed and increased my value or made Celtic want to sign me permanently. I think, because I think in two of them, they have the option to buy, mm-hmm. I think afterwards, which is probably a no-brainer. You sign someone on loan, they can trial them out, see how it is. If they want to sign them, brilliant. So I think I'm with Gordon on that. I think it's a sensible signings.
Well, thanks to Josh. What about John in Coatbridge? What are you making of it, John? We got you, John. Not sure we do. I don't know if he's
John,
muted himself.
No, got a good signal.
Not having it right. Let's hear from Martin O'Neill, shall we? And we'll try and get John back. Martin O'Neill says he's glad Celtic now have more options in attacking areas heading into a busy and crucial period.
We had rested Dyson and Arne at, and I think I said at the end of the day, I wonder whether that was completely wise or not. But anyway, we've got through it. And it was just the number of games, and the games that you're talking about, it is a matter of there'll be some sort of rotation, because I don't think the players can, I think it's a tall order to ask them, if you're talking about in the next week or two, I mean, 4 games in 10 days, I think that's difficult for everyone. I noticed the Liverpool manager complaining about, he's had two weeks and relatively quick succession of 3 games in 7 days, you know. Wants to come up here then.
John, I think we've got you now. How are you?
Aye, mate. Sorry, I put us on a signal there. Aye, I'm here. You got me, aye?
Yes, got you loud and clear. What are you thinking tonight?
Aye, we're trying to get on a point now, mate, about you've got Sirachi being back, Dazza and Killian. I think it's a great... I think him and Tinecki linked up great together as well. And we've got a lot of good players coming back now. Finjeries, Johnson, that'll be back soon. But a point was about to make tonight. I think the Celtic hierarchy should be for part of the morning and have a look at this manager. Honour what, as you said, the best football team in Scotland by a mile. So I think this guy would be a great fit for Celtic. And unfortunately for you, Daza and Gordon, you will maybe lose this guy because he's done some job. I just want to know what you think about this guy being Celtic manager for next season.
Well, I certainly think the way he's going about his business, Motherwell got to lose him. Eventually, I'm sure that Motherwell fans everywhere are desperate to hold on to him. And obviously the board and everybody involved, of course, are. He's brought something to Fir Park this year. It's not been seen for a long, long while. His style of football, entertaining. No, look, he's been absolutely brilliant. You can say it's his first season, but everything about him, you look at the crowds flooding back to Fir Park now. Motherwell fans have bought right into it. The players have bought right into it. He's just plucked players out of nowhere. He's kept the majority of the squad they inherited, and he's made every single one of those players better. And that's what you can say. He's made every one of them better. It's okay that the manager turns around and says, this is the way I play. I'm going to play this style of football. He makes five changes. He makes seven changes. He makes changes all the time to suit what he's going to do. The players have got to go out and do that. So all credit goes to the players as much as it goes to the manager. But I agree with John. See if the way he's going about his business. And I'm not being disrespectful to Motherwell, but if he walked into a team like Celtic with different quality, a better quality, which obviously Celtic do have in their squads, you're not telling me he could not turn them into a right exciting team. There's no doubt about it. Martin O'Neill has done a magnificent job. He knows how to manage. This guy is a brilliant coach for me. He really is. So would I be surprised if I'd seen him at Celtic? Absolutely not. They'd be crazy not to look at him just now.
Well, thank you to John. 01419511025. Get your footballing points in, please. We're not taking song requests tonight, yeah, despite what that sounded Jimmy. Like a few seconds ago. And while you get your calls in, we'll tell you about this.
Clyde One. For Valentine's.
Yeah, you could be falling in love with your bank balance if you win this weekend's Make Me a Winner, because it's worth £450,000. On Friday, it was Catherine who got the call, and she said that all her dreams had come true. She plans to spend the money on her 12-year-old son and paying off her mortgage. Enter today, and you could be swooning over a ton of cash. To enter, text YES to 61025, text her 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll also find the rules for this network competition there as well, or you can call 0344 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and don't miss out because lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. Answer our call and £450,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Big night of action in the Scottish Premiership because it is Hearts against Hibs at Tynecastle. We will go there very shortly to get the team news, but for now, get your calls in 0141 951 1025. Let's speak to Mark, who is a Rangers fan in Kilmarnock. Mark, what are you thinking this evening?
All right, guys, how you all doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. I'm going to go against the grain here. Everyone thinks it's going to be a tough game on Wednesday against Motherwell and on Sunday against Hearts. I think we've got a newfound swagger. I actually think it's going to be a comfortable win on both games for us, and I fully suspect that we'll be top of the league on Sunday. And I dare say Hearts may even drop down further, because I can see them losing tonight as well. So I think it's going to be comfortable.
How much of that swagger, Mark, comes from the last two matches? Because, you know, Rangers obviously scoring 13 goals in those two home games, lots of different goal scorers, some of the new signings showing up well, but are the next two games not just a sort of natural step up in level than playing, you know, 10 men in Kilmarnock at home and then Queen's Park?
No, I think it's a mixture, right? You've got to obviously take in the last two games, of course you do. But you've seen it in every game. There's been small improvements, small adjustments each game. It's not been pretty, it's not been perfect, but you could see where we were going. And I think, you know, many callers have said about our January window. I think the new players that we've brought in, it's just taking us to a new level. And I think we'll fully see that going forward now. And I think Danny Rowe's took a while to get his style. He's came in, he's steadied the ship. He's series at the back. Now it's about, okay, how did we play quick? How did we play forward quicker? And you can see that game on game. So, yeah, I can see it over the last kind of 5 weeks, actually.
Mark, okay. I do believe that Rangers have got a great chance to win this title, right? Because I think they've recruited very well. But I can't remember, when was the last time you looked at Rangers? Take Queen's Park out of the equation here and they blew teams away. They struggled at Hibs. They struggled against 10 men and they struggled that bad that their own fans booed them off the pitch. And they're going to Fir Park tomorrow night to a team that's not lost a goal in 9 at Fir Park and has played most teams off the pitch with their football. Look, I could see Rangers win the game tomorrow night. I'm not denying that. But I don't go in with the same confidence as Mark saying, well, have a look at the way we're going about our business. The proof is there. I think Rangers have got a real good squad, but I think there's a bit to come from Rangers. I really do.
Do you know what? You could disagree with that, right? Because, yes, at times we've not been great, but we've won matches, right? Since Danny Rose came in, we've won games. And I think it's been a slow and steady progress. So I think you definitely see now, especially with the signings that he's brought in, there is this newfound swagger. The confidence is high.
Is that the big difference then for you, Mark? Is it the new signings and what they can offer and maybe the more sort of depth and variety Rangers have in their squad?
I think so, yes. I also think the players that bring in the summer are now starting to click. I think it's took a bit of time for them to get going, but you can definitely see it now. And I'm fully confident that it'll be comfortable wins.
Because that is a point that Mark makes, that yes, you know, we are talking about the last couple of games and even before that as well, but Rangers have brought in new signings, but there are players that do look as if they're maybe sort of growing into life at Rangers. Mikey Moore looks as if he's getting better week on week. Even Oliver Antman's come back from injury and maybe looks more like the player Rangers thought they were bringing in. So would that be the perfect mix for Danny Rule, that yes, the players that come in January make the required impact, but he's also getting more out of the players that he wasn't seeing as much from in his early days?
Yeah, definitely. I think players that are coming back or coming back to form might feel like new signings to him. Mikey Moore was really good against Kilmarnock, but again, that game, like Gordon was saying there, they did get booed off at half time. The first half was that bad, playing against 10 men. So I think there's a reason. Mark said it at the start of it, that he's going against the grain. I think there's a reason he is going against the grain. Same as Gordon, I think they can. I wouldn't be surprised if they do go and beat Motherwell, but by no means do I think they go in and blow them away based off beating 10 men Kilmarnock and Queen's Park in a home cup game. Queen's Park team who only got there due to being a technicality by not beating Stranraer.
And you also look at that run that Rangers had of 8 wins in a row that Danny Rule had, and the first one of those games was a win against Motherwell at Ibrox. It was a 1-0 win, wasn't pretty, but not many teams beat Motherwell in their current guise at the moment. So that will be some confidence that they'll take from that.
And on that day, I think Motherwell maybe should have got something, but I think Rangers are in a far better place. There's no doubt. I'm not disagreeing with Mark. If you're a Rangers supporter, yeah. I just like the way this guy's went about his business. He's come in, he says, look, we're going to win games. That's what I want to do. And he's doing that, and he's been absolutely brilliant for Rangers, no doubt. I think his recruitment in January has been good. They've added to the positions that everybody was looking for them to add to, and it's made them stronger. I think Rangers are in a real good place. But I don't see Rangers right now, at this moment in time, going and blowing teams away. And I'll tell you right now, they certainly ain't going to Fir Park tomorrow and going to blow Motherwell away. It won't happen, because Motherwell are too good a football team. Their defensive record at Fir Park's brilliant. I think if you turn around and says to the Rangers manager now, listen, don't turn up at Fir Park, we'll give you a 1-0 win, he would bite your hand off. He'd be delighted with that. That'll be a tough game tomorrow. I do fancy them at home to Hearts, I've got to say. But going to Fir Park, where Motherwell's record is outstanding, and the way they play, with the goal threat, they've got the top goal scorer in the league and their ranks as well, ain't going to be a comfortable night for them.
Mark, who out of the new signings has to start for you tomorrow?
All of them. is the honest answer. I think all of them start.
That's the way you'll beat Motherwell about 14.
Do you see that happening? Do you reckon that all four will start going?
I could. I think Mark's on the money here. I'd love to see the left back Roman start. I really would like to see him up against a good side, because I really get, you know, I think he's going to the all the way with Rangers. I think he looks brilliant, really do. Olsen come in, he get his goal as well. Look, he was terrible. He was non-existent against Tibbs. He's came with a big reputation. Takes time for it to get up to speed to the Scottish game. You can see he's got the ability, no doubt about that. You've got Mikey Moore on fire as well. It's who's going to play up front for me, right? He tends to go with Chermiti, but I don't know if he's going to stick with him. I'll be interesting to see. Majovski, when he's scoring the goals, I know it was against Queen's Park and against Annan when he got his hat trick. The new lad that's come in, Nadir, he looked decent. He looks really good. I'll be interesting to see his team line up tomorrow. I'm really fascinated with that.
Well, thank you to Mark. Huge game in the Premiership tonight. Hearts against Hibs at Tynecastle. Let's get a preview and the team news from Gabriel.
Yeah, Andrew, as you say, a massive game in the Premiership. Hearts against Hibs, Tuesday night under the lights, and it will have the whole country watching as well. And that's, of course, because Hearts are still top of the Premiership on the 10th of February. They're looking to extend their lead before Celtic and Rangers play tomorrow night, and it doesn't come any bigger than this. Let's get straight into the team news, and we'll start with the hosts. Two changes for Derek McInnes' men since that loss at St Mirren last week. As Steinwender drops to the bench, Craig Halkett is suspended. He was sent off in that match. In come Frankie Kent and Islam Chesnokov, the January addition, making his first start for the club. He's not played any minutes in the Premiership yet, so a huge call from McInnes. The team will look like this. Alexander Shvolov in goal. Ocean McEntee has been pushed to right back. Frankie Kent and Stuart Finlay are in the centre of defence, with Harry Milne on the left. Mark Leonard and Benny Beningame will be in the middle of the park. Looks like Claudio Braga will play in that number 10 role just in front of them. Alexandro Kizaridis, Islam Chesnokov and Elton Kabangu as a front three. And the substitutes, Gordon McCart, Steinwender, Spittle, Magnussen, Altena, Kajota, Ageu and Matto. Two changes for the visitors as well. David Gray's side winning last time out against Dundee United. Jordan Obita and L.A. Yuan are out. Nicky Cadden and new boy Kai Andrews coming in. It's his first start as well. So it looks like it's going to be Rafael Salinger in goal. It'll be the same back three as last week, with Munashe Garanja, Rocky Bashiri and Jack Iredale. Felix Paslak and Nicky Cadden will be the wing-backs, and it'll probably be a three in the middle of the park of Miguel Chaiwa, Dan Balazla and Kai Andrews, and then two up top, Martin Boyle and Dane Scarlett. The substitutes, well, O'Hara, McGrath and Josh Campbell are back on the bench for the first time in a while. They're joined by Smith, Yuan, Megwa, Alan Molotnikov, Elding and Suto. The referee, Nick Walsh, and the VAR, Andrew Dallas.
Very interested in the inclusion of Islam Chesnokov, because his first appearance, he came off the bench against Falkirk in the Cup, didn't really look up to the pace at the time. Derek McInnes admitted that. He then didn't make the bench against Celtic, Dundee United or St Mirren in their last three games, and he's now straight into the side from the start against Hibs. That's a big call, isn't it?
Yeah, massive. Excited to actually see him start a game and show what all the hype has been about since he signed. He's the one everyone has been saying he's, when people were talking about how good the signings have been, like bragging that they're saying following it up with Chesnokov is actually the one that they're most excited about. So it must have just been a fitness issue where maybe he's taken him out of those games where he can really try and get him up to speed, which he obviously feels he is for tonight. And what a game for him to go and really impress to what everyone is being expecting of him.
Well, more preview for that game and more of your calls to come, but we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on either Gordon DL or Killian Sheridan at Beat the Pundit. Get your call in before 7 o'clock, 01419511025.
Taking your call calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still another hour of your calls to come, and we'll go back to Tynecastle as well. A huge match tonight between Hearts and Hibs. We've had the team news from there, so plenty of build up to that, and plenty more of your calls on today's biggest talking points. 0141 951 1025 on the phones, but let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Killian, you made your Beat the Pundit debut last week.
Mm-hmm.
Went slightly better than Joe Rothwell's debut for Sheffield United last night, didn't it? Did you see that?
Incredible.
Did you see that one? Came on what? At half time, and then that tackle was...
What was you thinking?
Ridiculous, isn't it?
My, did he have a argument with that lad before a game or something? Because he just... Oof, that was some tackle.
You're not getting caught by any of those tackles.
You must I'd be running away from them before it even gets to that
too
stage.
Quick.
No, I'd be dodging. If I was 60-40 in my favour, I'm not putting my body in any danger.
See, my day centre-halves were allowed that tackle for the first tackle. They would do that, and then they'd go up and go, first tackle, ref, no bother. That's the way it happened.
I can't imagine you would take too kindly to that type of thing.
Oh, I was trying to keep out.
I mean,
the
to be fair, that was probably Rothwell's first tackle.
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, I had guys like Big Roy Aitken, and when you heard them coming, you just closed your eyes, hope for the best.
Right, Stuart is up for Beat the Pundit. Stuart, who do you want to two-foot, Gordon DL or Killian Sheridan?
Give us Killian.
Right, he did quite well on your debut, though. Five-four win is a narrow victory, but five's a very good score for your first time. So
I'm not near as confident if I get it this.
Why?
If I'm up to, don't know, just not feeling.
Listen, you've got to get your first donut and get it out the road.
Right, have you played before, Stuart?
No, it's my first time.
How do you normally get on playing along at home?
Six.
I normally play on the way back home for work. Sometimes do good. Sometimes. Not so good, but see what the questions are like.
Mixed bag, we'll see what Stuart turns up today.
Listen, it depends on the questions. I think Stuart's right. Stuart, have you got MD with you?
No, just myself.
Right, Gordon DL will be delighted with that. I absolutely detest when anyone has any help in the background.
I took on a 52-seater once going to the game.
It's completely allowed, by the way. That's fine. You're allowed help in the background. Right, it will be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Killian Sheridan. It will be the red side of the coin for Gordon DL. And it is the blue side, so it is Killian once again. Said he wasn't feeling too confident, but we'll put something else in his ear at the moment, so he cannot hear us. Stuart, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
Yeah, all good.
Right, let's go. Which former Rangers manager left his role on this day in 2017?
Bill.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's wife, Perry Edwards, was part of which girl band?
Pass.
Which English side play at St Andrews?
West Brom.
Which English striker scored the winner the last time Hibs won at Tynecastle?
Pass.
Which fast food company sponsored Gretna in their only season in the top flight?
Big Dogs.
Okay, we will bring... And Killian, can you hear us? Killian, what are you laughing at?
That last question. Honestly, they boys need to get themselves off.
Right, don't give away
I
any
won't
hints.
Give away,
right, 30 seconds on the clock.
This is a donut. It's written all over you.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Killian Sheridan. Let's go. Which former Rangers manager left his role on this day in 2017?
Warburton.
Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's wife, Perry Edwards, was part of which girl band?
Little Mix.
Which English side play at St Andrews?
Birmingham.
Which English striker scored the winner the last time Hibs won at Tynecastle?
Pass.
Which fast food company sponsored Gretna in their only season in the top flight?
No idea.
Name any former Old Firm player who now plays for St Pauli in the Bundesliga.
Nah.
That means pass.
It's passing it?
Nut.
Nah.
Nah.
Passing
pass.
It.
He didn't play for Rangers. Nah.
Stuart, how do you think that went?
Aye, I think I'll be lucky to escape a donut there.
Oh no, Stuart, seriously, come on.
We'll go through them. Which former Rangers manager left the role on this day in 2017? Stuart is a Rangers fan.
He never got it.
And he went for Michael Beale. The answer is Mark Warburton.
What,
so it goes 1-0 to Killian Sheridan. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's wife, Perry Edwards, was part of which girl band?
Come on.
Would you have got that one?
Yeah, because I've seen Michael McIntyre getting into the bedroom.
Sorry, what?
No, the Michael McIntyre
show. Oh, right, okay.
His driveway, I swear to God, he needs a petrol station, his driveway to get down it. It's that big. And I watched the show. That's how I know it's Little Mix.
It is Little Mix.
I just know because I'm a big fan.
What?
I know because I'm just a big fan.
Are you? Little Mix. You look at... tell me, Stuart never got that, did he?
Stuart never got it.
What did he say, the base out of rollers?
Passed it. So 2-0 to Killian Sheridan. Which English side play at St Andrews? It sounded as if this one threw Stuart off a little bit and he ended up going for West Brom, but it is Birmingham City, which Killian Sheridan said 3-0 to Killian. Which English striker scored the winner the last time Hibs won at Tynecastle?
Kieran Bowie. Was it not?
Which English striker scored the winner the last time Hibs won at Tynecastle? Yeah.
Oh, at Tynecastle, he scored the winner at Easter Road, didn't he?
So there was two elements to that question.
Oh, I would have got that
and
wrong.
And you got
then.
Them both wrong. Miles wrong. The answer is Dwight Gayle.
So it is.
Yeah, remember.
No, you wouldn't have.
So it stays 3-0 to Killian Sheridan. Which fast food company sponsored Gretna in their only season in the top flight? See, I don't mind this type of question because I quite like shirts and sponsors and that type
food,
of thing.
Fast food, I'll go as Greg's Fast Food.
I mean, it is, but it's not Greg's.
What is it then?
Greg's isn't very sort of like 2007-ish, is it? It seemed quite early for Greg's phenomenon. Subway. Don't remember that on the front of the Gretna kit?
No,
no?
I don't know.
Well,
let me tell you now, I'm going to bet everything I've got. Stuart doesn't remember that either.
Well, he went for McDonald's, so he didn't
good
get
answer.
It.
I don't mind that. Good effort.
Killian got one more question in. Didn't answer it. Stuart didn't get any questions in after that, so it is a donut for Stuart, unfortunately. Name any former Old Firm player who now plays for St Pauli in the Bundesliga.
Jackson Irvine
would have been a correct guess if you'd gone for it. Do you know the other one?
I knew I had it.
No.
James Sands.
The lad that played with Rangers?
Yep. American.
American, but oh, I forgot about him.
Both at St Pauli, but it is a 3-0 win for Killian Sheridan, which means you are 2-2. Stuart, how are you feeling after that?
Aye, not good.
Stuart, are you feeling any better about Rangers' chances tomorrow and just what this week is looking like ahead?
It will be a tough week of fixtures. I don't really think the last two games I've done, like Kilmarnock, 10-man Kilmarnock and Queen of the bottom of the championship.
Queen's Park, yep.
So it'll be Queen's Park. So it'll be a tough game. So see what happens.
Are you sort of more in that camp that you'd not really reading as much into those games just based on the sort of circumstances surrounding them? It's more just sort of waiting to see how Danny Rule and this squad and the new players adapt to these sort of bigger games across the week?
Yeah, it's like I'd like to see us create more chances against like bigger teams like Hibs. I don't think we've created much at all the whole game. I think that's kind of more the level of like Motherwell and the Hearts. So we'll see how we get on. I'm hopeful, but...
Is that one thing that the players can maybe take a bit of confidence from, even if it is, you know, we talked about the obvious caveats of those two games, but can it just be a sort of feel-good factor? As you mentioned, you know, not many chances created against Hibs at all, but the second half against Kilmarnock, that game against Queen's Park, if they're maybe in the knack of scoring and creating chances, can that just help confidence, belief going into it? Is that a big thing for attackers?
Yeah, definitely. It's more than not scoring against them. If they go into those games and struggle, whereas if it's a new player coming in, you just want to get your first goal as quickly as you can. And a game like that was perfect for Nadir to come in and get his. And I think that's the main thing. If you're coming in and you get confidence early on, especially as an attacker, and I think he'll start tomorrow. It sounds as if Danny Roll really likes him, wanted to get him in there. I'd say he pushed for the transfer to happen.
Well, they paid the extra money for him, didn't they? Because they sat and waited to the summer.
Does that really show that Rangers are confident he can make a big impact between now and the end of the season? Because he is young, he's 22, he's coming from the third tier in Germany. Yes, there's going to be the long-term aspect to that signing, but Rangers wouldn't have pushed the boat out and paid that extra money on deadline day if they didn't think he could, you know, have a say for the next 3 months.
Yeah. I'm not getting carried away because it was Queen's Park at home, right? But I think you're right. I think obviously Rangers have looked at this lad and thought, yeah, he might be the difference between now at the end of the season win this league. It could be a big difference. If he keeps banging in goals, if he starts tomorrow and he gets a goal or two or whatever, and all of a sudden he starts being the regular number nine, it could be a massive difference. And I think that's why the Rangers have paid the money.
Stuart, what about Emmanuel Fernandez? Danny Rule saying today that he should be back fit for tomorrow. For you, is it as simple as he just goes straight back into the starting lineup?
I think so. He's too much a threat from corners, and he's been solid the past few games at the back. It's like night and day from when Danny Rowe first took over. They were all clueless at the back. So I think he just walks straight into the team. I think him and Suter do well together.
Is he quite a hard player to leave out now, Killian? Because he certainly, you know, I think he'd maybe been kind of written off in his early days, and people, you know, used his signing as a stick to beat Kevin Thelwell with, because Rangers paid £3.5 million for a defender that wasn't even getting into Rangers squads. But he's now seems to be developing and growing into things. But that aerial threat he's got in both boxes, especially when it comes to scoring goals and Rangers being so good at set pieces, is that just an extra element that kind of makes him hard to leave out when he's fit?
Yeah, definitely. It adds to his strengths or his case for getting back into a team or keeping his place in a team. And I think, like Stuart said, it has been night and day in how he's performing now to earlier on in the season. Earlier on, they just looked like nervous every single time, anytime a team was attacking them at all or running at them. Looked as if they didn't know what they were doing. And I think a lot of credit has to go to Danny Rawl for coming in and possibly instilling some confidence in him or giving him some sort of a different sort of guidance in games, tactically wise or not, I'm not sure. But like Stuart saying, the difference has been night and day.
He's a certainty to start tomorrow. If you look at a centre-half like him, he's got more goals than your £8 million striker just now. And they brought in the set play coach, and I think their set plays have been excellent. They're always a threat. It's always something different, and he is certainly a threat in the box. So I would be amazed if he's not parting Suter at the centre.
It's also massive for when they're not blowing away teams.
Mm.
And a game might come down to a set piece. And
because it did happen across that spell of eight wins in a row where there were matches where Rangers weren't creating a host of chances from open play, but would maybe win 2-0 and both goals came from set pieces. So it can be the difference sometimes, can't it?
Yeah, definitely. And especially in games like that where they're just grinding out results, not playing particularly well. But at the end of the day, at this stage of the season, all that matters is 3 points from every game between now and the end of the season.
Well, thanks to Stuart. Laurie is a Celtic fan up next. Laurie, what are you thinking tonight?
Thank you for taking my call. Can I speak to Big Dan and the People's Pundit at Gordondale? Guys, here's my thoughts tonight. As the season approaches, you know, the business end, there are three candidates of the teams contesting the title. Firstly, the perennial also-ran and runner-up Derek McInnes in charge of Hearts, the promising but unproven Danny Rowe Rangers, or the tried, tested and trusted finished article Martin O'Neill. To plagiarise a line from Ray Parker Jr.'s song Ghostbusters, who are you going to call?
I love it, Laurie. Absolutely brilliant. How long did it take for you to make that one up?
It came instantaneously to me, Gordon. You should know me better than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, well, do me a favour. Write me a couple of lines. I've got the pavilion coming up for Super Scoreboard. Hopefully you'll be there that night. I'll tell you what. I think you're right in what you say in the sense of you mentioned the three managers. I think the Rangers, Hearts and Celtic are in a good place with their managers. Their players believe in them. Their supporters believe in them. The club believes in them. So you're right, Martin O'Neill. The one thing you say about Martin O'Neill is he's a brilliant man manager. You know, I don't get into this. Well, he's 73 age and everything. That's experience. He's got younger people to run about and do what he doesn't do now. And he's probably never been that. Even when I come up against Martin O'Neill, it was well documented that he never really done a lot of coaching. He was more the man manager. He was a guy in the dressing room, everything. Danny Rule's come in. A young guy into the Scottish Premier League for the first time. I loved the way he came in with his attitude. It wasn't all the fancy talk about formations and style of football. It was simple that the fans want to hear. I want to win games. I need to win games for Rangers. And he's doing that. And then you've got the experience of Derek McInnes that is the right fit for Hearts. Very good manager. Knows the game inside out. I think it's intriguing, the three managers at the top. They've all got something different about them. But as much as they are very good managers, it'll come down to decisions on the park that their players make.
Martin O'Neill's experience of Scottish football, his experience of being at Celtic, his experience of winning titles, how crucial can that be to his squad over the next few months?
I think it's been massive so far, up until since he's come back to the club. He knows what it's all about. He knows the club. He knows the expectations. He knows how to manage the players. And like Gordon's saying, like, the three teams all challenging for us have all got managers that all the fans are in unison, that they're all happy with who they have. Derek McInnes, you can say he also has experience in Scottish football. He knows the league inside out. And then it's just a case of how Danny Rowe...
But maybe he just doesn't have that experience of sort of, you know, winning titles or getting it over the line. Can that type of thing be the difference?
Could maybe go back to his time at Aberdeen where he had a taste of it and then ultimately it ran away from them. I would imagine he's probably leaning a little bit on that experience. But when it comes to tried and tested, has history of winning the league, then I think clearly Martin O'Neill is head and shoulders above the three of them. But it's exciting to have a three horse race with three quite different managers as well.
Yeah, I think they'll bring something different. I really do. And they stamp that onto their teams. You look at the way Martin O'Neill plays with Celtic, you look at the way Danny Rowe's come in, set up with Rangers, Derek McInnes the same. They've all got strengths, and like everybody else, they've all got weaknesses. Of course, Martin O'Neill's got the pedigree of that. There's no doubt of what he's achieved in management. But, you know, you've got to say about Derek. Derek's never had the opportunity to manage a team like Celtic when Martin could afford to bring in the players that he brought in and spend the money, you know. And Danny Rowe's come in, he's been now backed in the transfer window here in January as well. His first taste of managing a team the size of Rangers. Martin obviously has managed south of the border as well, so he knows the game inside. Listen, it's fascinating, but I keep going back to it. These guys will be well prepared. They'll set their team up as good as they possibly can. They'll pick the right teams that they think on the day. It might just come down to an individual situation or players making bad decisions at the wrong time. Like the other day there with Halkett getting sent off and all of a sudden you're down to 10 men. I think that'll all play a part. But it's intriguing, these three guys going up against each other.
Well, thank you to Laurie. We're going to set up a teaser for these two next. And here's who you're really going to call is us on 0141 951 1025.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan taking your calls on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is just over half an hour away from kickoff between Hearts and Hibs at Tynecastle. We will go back there to get a bit of the atmosphere ahead of that one. A huge one at the top of the table, and then four big games to follow tomorrow night, and plenty more of your calls to come. 0141 951 1025. But we're going to set up a full time teaser for the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
They're hard.
Well, tonight we're welcoming our new sponsor, Arcaplan Glasgow, onto the show. Head over to arcaplanglasgow.com to sort your loft conversions, extensions, garage conversions, new builds, internal alteration projects and much more.
I can't believe that.
Can't believe what?
I live in a flat. They're now used to me.
Ah, there's loads in there.
Where they go? A loft?
Internal alteration projects. There you go.
Right, okay. What else? What, a garage and everything like that?
Aye. It's not all for you. You realise that not everything in the world is tailored towards you specifically.
Yeah, but I like it when
and I'm really hoping that this question is not going to be tailored towards you specifically so that you struggle with it. Right. Thanks to Jim in Tenerife, just to rub it in for tonight's question. Can you name the 7 former Hearts or Hibs players with 100 or more English Premier League appearances this century? So they need to have made 100 or more English Premier League appearances this century and also have played for Hearts or Hibs.
Craig Gordon didn't make 100, surely.
No.
No, I didn't think he did. Right, okay. Snodgrass.
Robert Snodgrass is correct. 171 Premier League appearances and, of course, played for Hearts.
Hanlon?
No.
No, he was always Championship, wasn't he?
He did play a fair Stephen bit in the Premier League. Stephen Fletcher is correct, 189. Right, we will give you a bit of thinking time. You have 2 of the 7 so far. Let's speak to Stuart, who is a Rangers fan in Coatbridge. Stuart, what are you thinking tonight?
Yes, I'm thinking good things are hopefully coming this season. But my main point is about James Tavernier not getting the credit he should. I mean, being at Rangers since July 2015 from Wigan, it only cost him £200,000 back then, which was good money then. But is the most right back in football history to score over 150 goals? I mean, if he does finish the season this year, if they win the league or not, he should be entitled to a testimonial, which I think he should be entitled to it, because I think he's definitely the best Rangers player since Alan McCoist, I would say.
Oof. It's a big shout.
I think that's a massive shout. I don't know if I'll agree with Stuart on that, but I've got to say I'm a Tavernier fan. I have been from day one. I think the guy comes in for a lot of criticism. He's always labelled with Rangers, never a Rangers captain, only won one trophy or whatever it may be. But remember, it's a team game, and he needs more than Tavernier. But what he's achieved in the sense of goals and stats and assists, everything about him, hardly missed a game. I think Tavernier does, from some fans, not them all, let's be honest about it, from some fans, I think he gets a little bit unfair criticism. He comes in for that criticism, he gets criticised because of some of his defending at time, but listen, all defenders get bad days and get caught out and lose sloppy goals. But going forward, what he's given Rangers, I think he's been absolutely brilliant for him.
Stuart's contract is up at the end of the season. Do you expect that he will stay on? Do you think it could be his final season? Or do you think it maybe depends on what happens, how this season plays out?
I think what happens, whatever this season plays out, if Rangers do go on and win the league, I think they'll stay. But if Rangers don't, I think he'll maybe go somewhere else, maybe bigger, like abroad somewhere, I think. Maybe definitely a testimonial. And I think tonight's game and all is going to be interesting. And I've got a funny feeling there's going to be 4 goals on it. I think up to 2 each.
Certainly it was a good one last time out between a 2 or 3-2 win. How he scored. Never know, might
no,
be.
That Englishman for Scotland that's now in Italy.
Just on James Tavernier, do you think this season could play a part in, you know, his Rangers future, whether he decides to stay on or not? Is that a consideration, do you think?
I don't think Danny Rowe would keep him on.
Do you think so?
I think you're kind of getting the... You can see him, he's taking him off in games now. He's isn't afraid to do it. I think the thing that everyone uses is attacking-wise, how influential he is on the team. And you can't... It's hard to deny the facts on how many goals he's had, how many assists, at the cost of what goals is given away. In some big games, I think he's probably more. If you're scoring all those goals, albeit that many are penalties or free kicks or whatever, they're still goals. It probably outweighs potentially the mistakes where he's giving away goals.
Yeah, I it's opinions, isn't it? Everything's about opinions. I still think he's the best right back at the club. I know that a lot of fans maybe think Sterling, right? And I think he's a decent enough player, but I think Tavernier gives you so much more.
Also, I mean, one thing about James Tavernier is his availability as well, that across those 10 years, he's not really had any spells out injured, any huge spells out injured. Dujon Sterling, not really someone that can be relied upon for that type of thing. Max Ahrens has come in this season, has played in the English Premier League. He's not really been able to dislodge James Tavernier either.
Yeah, and Tavernier's been there that long. How many managers has played under Tavernier? Has Tavernier played under? And everyone, since he became the captain, kept him as a captain, because every time a manager comes in, we heard it on this phone-in, people phoning in saying, oh, the first decision the new manager should do is take the captaincy off Tavernier. Nobody's done it, right? He played under all those managers and he played week in, week out. I do agree. I think he's come to the end of his reign at Rangers. I think in the summer, I think Rangers will start moving on and I think Tavernier will move on. But up until then, I think he deserves all the credit and respect in the world for what he's achieved at Rangers as a player. Not, I know fans will go, oh, he's never won a lot of trophies, right? But what he's done for the team on the pitch with his assists, his goals, I know that he's labelled, oh, it's all penalty kicks, still got to score them. I hear in the dressing room, he's a real leader round about the dressing room as well. So, yeah, I think he's been brilliant for Rangers, my opinion.
Well, thanks to Stuart. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Another topic I wanted to touch on, Martin O'Neill saying today that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has trained the last couple of days. We know he has been training with Arsenal for the past few months. Didn't say today whether he would be available for tomorrow night or not. Hasn't played a competitive game since May, I think. How likely do you think it is that he could be involved as soon as tomorrow? Do you think that would be quite quick, or do you think there's a possibility that he might be thrown into things already?
I think tomorrow could be a perfect game for him to... Not, I don't think he'll start, but I think it's a game where if Celtic can go a goal or two up, which they should be expecting to, that he can put him in, get him some minutes, get him some game time. I know all the talk was about him down training at Arsenal, but was it with the under-18s?
No, I think he was training with the first team at times. I'm not 100% sure on you know what that split looked like, but I think he was involved in first team training at times.
Okay, well, either way, training is different to games. You can go and do all the training you want. If you're not playing games, the fitness and sharpness is night and day.
How quickly can that get built up then, do you think, if he's fit, physically fit, and he has been training but doesn't have that match fitness? Is it different for every player, or do you feel that it can be built up to a decent level relatively quickly if he can get out in the pitch?
Probably the danger is trying to rush and do things too quickly, and that's when injuries can come. I don't think he's in a position where he can afford time to get little niggles here and there and then always go back and starting to try and build himself up again. I think he'll know as well. I think he's experienced enough to know his body, and he'll be able to say, I feel like he's got enough about him where he could say to Martin O'Neill, look, I'm maybe going a little bit too fast here with certain things. And Martin O'Neill will probably work with him as well to say, right, let's just do this quite sensibly. And I think he'll probably, the two of them will, I would imagine, will be listening to each other and just kind of feeding off how he feels.
I agree with you. I think he'll be on the bench tomorrow night.
I think so, yeah.
There's not, listen, you're at a stage now, you're halfway through February. Right, you brought him in for a reason. I totally agree. I don't think they'll rush him, but I think they'll start getting minutes into his legs. And if Celtic are at home to Livingston tomorrow night, Livingston, well documented, not won a game since August the 9th, going to Celtic Park, Celtic firm favourites, you'd expect Celtic to go and win that game probably quite comfortably. And I think that gives you an opportunity to get him on the park and start getting that sort of a game time into his legs.
He will also just have those natural breaks. The fact that he's not involved in Celtic's European squad, Martin O'Neill sort of alluded to the fact that there maybe was a bit of frustration there from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain that he would have liked to have been, but the timing just didn't quite work out. But
I would imagine part of it was in the deal before he signed. They've probably said to him, are you fit to come and play? Are you up to speed? If you're going to sign here, are you ready to contribute straight away? And then it's ultimately, I think that's going to be tested in the next week or two.
Not having him involved in those European games means that he will have a couple of free midweeks that other Celtic players won't have. So could that maybe speed up the process of just getting him into the team now over the next few days? And then you know for a fact that he's not going to play in that home game against Stuttgart. He's not going to play in that away game against Stuttgart as well.
Look, it's completely different now. I think players, I know what you're saying about niggles and injuries, but I think sports science and football now, players can get up to speed very quick indeed. And you're right, they'll have the talk, they'll have the discussion, they'll know where he is and his fitness. I would be surprised if he was not involved at some point tomorrow, just to get him up and running, get him used to playing with his teammates, get him at Celtic Park as well, against the bottom of the table. I think he'll be involved tomorrow at some point.
I think the Stuttgart games would have helped him. I think any chance he gets to get minutes on the pitch in games rather than going and doing runs or extra running for fitness, I think it's all in match fitness, match sharpness.
Right, let's get more answers on this full-time teaser with Arkiplan Glasgow. Can you name 7 Scottish former Hibs or Hearts players with more than 100 English Premier League appearances this century?
Is Dwight Gayle one?
No, because they need to be Scottish.
I don't listen to the
Scottish
question.
Former Hearts or Hibs players with 100 or more English Premier League appearances. You have Stephen Fletcher and Robert Snodgrass.
I need to start apologising to John the McGinn. Guys in this.
John team. McGinn is correct.
Yeah, I forgot about John McGinn. He's definitely Scottish.
He has the second most Premier League appearances. You're missing the person that has the most. You've then got John McGinn, Stephen Fletcher, Robert Snodgrass, right, and 3 below them.
The most?
Mm-hmm. Give you some thinking time.
Yeah, please.
We'll do, and we'll go back to Tynecastle next. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Around 15 minutes to go until kick-off between Hearts and Hibs at Tynecastle. We will go back there shortly. We're going to speak to Stephen that is on the line next, but Gordon Dalziel and Killian Sheridan have been deliberating hard during the break about this full-time teaser. Can you name the 7 Scottish former Hearts or Hibs players with 100 or more English Premier League appearances this century? So far, you have John McGinn, Stephen Fletcher and Robert Snodgrass.
Yeah, there's one staring us right in the face the minute Kenny Miller was ruled out. Another pundit on here occasionally. Stephen Naismith.
Stephen Naismith is correct. Any more?
Go on, then.
Did we do the other Naismith?
Yeah.
Gary Naismith.
Gary Naismith, correct. 2 more to get. We will get them at the end of the show. Stephen is a Rangers fan in Eaglesham. Stephen, what have you got for us tonight?
I don't know. I'm excited with the running this season. I look at this game tonight and I think tonight might be the final nail on the coffin for Hearts' cute run at the title.
Say final nail in the coffin as if Hearts are in a bad position. They're still top of the league, Stephen.
I know, see this, I've phoned up a few times over the months and this is the thing, like everyone goes, oh Hearts, you know, they're still relevant. And it's not really the case because Danny Rule took over in November and ever since then we've chipped away. It's 3 points now. If Hearts are still...
Surely they're still relevant if they're top of the table, though, Stephen.
Well, I personally don't think so. I never have. I look back months, back to November, when Hearts were 14 points ahead. Oh, I said they would fall away then. And Rangers will be at the very least joint top of the league come end of play this weekend. And I know you guys, I've heard tonight you guys talking about Martin O'Neill, this and that. Look, Martin O'Neill did very well to a point with Celtic back in the day, but he choked when it came to real title league fights. You look at Helicopter Sunday, you look at when we won the league in points. He's got a history of choking when it comes to it. And I'm telling you right now, I said months ago, Rangers will walk to the title and it's going to happen. And I'm just loving every moment right now.
Did you say romp to the title?
I said that back in, I think it was December, I said that.
How far, how many points do you think they won it with?
I think we'll probably, well, okay, it depends, I guess, what you class as romp. I think it's going to be 6 or 7 points over Celtic, at Hearts or Motherwell, whoever it is that comes second, I don't know.
So you think that every other team apart from Rangers are going to kind of struggle now towards the end of the season, we'll be dropping points relatively consistently?
Absolutely. They'll fight it out for the points that are available and Rangers are going to just take care of business. But Danny Rule has done a phenomenal job and we've got to remember, see up until like we've only brought the new signings in who have all to a man looked spectacular. Albeit, right, aye, Kilmarnock, Hibs in Queen's Park. But every signing we've made looks like an improvement on the first 11, never mind the squad. And I'm looking forward to it. Look, I might be wrong, guys, but like I said, I think Danny Rowe's proven to be a phenomenal manager, and this is glorious. I just I don't know. Look, Motherwell tomorrow, I think we'll take care of business. Motherwell have been absolutely incredible, to be fair to Motherwell, but I think Rangers are going to go out there tomorrow. We're going to show them what it takes to be champions, and we're going to show Celtic and Hearts what it takes to be champions. And I cannot wait for this weekend, because Hearts are done.
I mean, it's a strong prediction, isn't it?
Look, I know what Stephen's saying, because honestly, if I was picking who was going to win the league, I'm going between Rangers and Celtic, right? And I think Hearts will still be there. I think they're obviously big saying it, and they deserve to be. They've been brilliant this season. It takes a lot to win a title. They've lost one or two of their big players. Important games coming up tonight. Look, we could be sitting next week. Hearts could go tonight, win, and go to Ibrox and win, because they've had the better of Rangers and Celtic this season.
What's mad is by the end of this week, Hearts could be anywhere between, I think, 9 points clear of Rangers and 3 points behind them.
Exactly.
It just shows how vital this week is.
But is that not how good our league is? And everybody, look, Stephen, I'll be followed by lots of Rangers supporters' confidence. Hearts fans will still be sitting there saying, do you know what? They keep waiting for us to fall away. We're still top of the league. That could change, right? And Celtic fans believe that Martin O'Neill is the man to lead them onto the title. It's absolutely brilliant. It's exciting. I keep going back to it. I think it's even going to get better when we get into the top six. I think it'll be amazing this season.
It's whether Stephen thinks it or not, Hearts being top of the table means they are very much still relevant. And yes, Rangers have had a better points tally than Hearts since Danny Rowe came in, but we've seen how mad this season has been so far. There have been so many unexpected twists and turns that I certainly wouldn't be able to call what way it's going to go. But, you know, fans have their allegiances and maybe just do feel more confident about their own team than some other people will.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, Stephen, like, if Rangers were actually firing on all cylinders, I can't imagine the optimism he would have then, considering now they're in second place and the league's already won in his eyes. But I think it's, like Gordon's saying, it is really exciting. Like, there's potential for, which I can't remember it happening, but three teams on the final day the league could go down to, which normally, like, you always used to it just being two teams on maybe the final day. The potential for three teams to be there is something that is really, really exciting. And I think it could go to that. I think Hearts will win tonight. And then Hearts will have the confidence of whoever they're playing. They know they can go and they can go away to Celtic and Rangers, give them games, beat them. They'll be confident in all their home games. And it's just setting it up for a really, really exciting end to the season.
So do you not see any chance of it going to the final day then, Stephen?
Nah, not at all. Not at all. Like I say, it'll be who picks up second place. After, you know, Rangers, I think we'll deal with Motherwell tomorrow. That's the toughest game we've got in the next three. We'll deal with Hearts at the weekend. We'll deal with Celtic next weekend. And it's just a procession from there on in. And it's about who finishes second, and I'm real excited to see who finishes second in Scotland.
Well, Stephen is certainly confident. Thank you to Stephen. Huge game at Tynecastle tonight. Let's go back there. Gabriel Antoniazzi is giving us the final bit of build-up to that one.
Yeah, Andrew, Derek McInnes claims Hearts face 13 cup finals between now and the end of the season if they are to win their first title for 66 years. This Edinburgh derby could prove to be one of their most important. Hearts have been top for 4 months, but a loss today, coupled with a Rangers victory tomorrow, could see that end. And they, of course, travel to Ibrox this weekend as well. The Hearts have not lost at home in the league for 10 months. They've been so good here this season. They did lose last time out against St Mirren on the road. Bounce back games like this, what show your minerals, your title credentials. Hearts' record recently, though, in the Edinburgh derby is not great. They've only won 2 of the last 10. Hibs victorious in that brilliant festive derby that finished 3-2 a couple of months ago. David Gray's side are fifth, and they don't want to get isolated there, Andrew. They want to keep on Motherwell's coattails as long as they can. The Steelmen are 4 points ahead of them. Hibs' league form is decent. They've won four and lost just one in their last seven. Gray called for calm in the chaos from his boys, but as everyone knows, anything can happen in a derby. Let's go over the teams once more, starting with the host. Shvolov in goal, McEntee, Kent, Finlay and Milner back four. Leonard and Baningme in the midfield with Braga as a 10. Kizaridis and Chesnikov play out wide with Kabore through the middle. For Hibs, it looks like a 3-5-2. Salinger in goal. Darrenange at the back with Bashiri and Iredale. Paslak and Cadden are the wing-backs. Chaiwa, Balaza and Andrews in midfield. Boyle and Scarlett up top. It's a great atmosphere here, Andrew. Hibs fans packing out an entire stand behind one goal. Hearts fans with maroon and white flags above their heads in the stand behind the other goal. Barely an empty seat in sight. And kickoff just over 5 minutes away.
If Hearts are going to give themselves the best chance of winning that one tonight, how much do they need to keep 11 men on the pitch? Has been a problem for them recently. Derek McInnes saying it's not a discipline problem, it's more of a concentration problem that they've been suffering from.
Yeah. Listen, they were very good in the fact that there was a couple of games, 10 men, they still get through it. They were well disciplined and everything. Derek had that at Kilmarnock as well, didn't he? He went through a right spell. Every game he was getting a man sent off. He probably hopes that's not going to happen at Hearts. Look, these games are difficult, massive games. It's easy to say you've got a better chance with 11 on the pitch than you have with 10. So he'll be saying that to his players. It's a derby tonight, packed house, as Gab says there. Players will be fired up for it.
Yes, let's finish off this teaser, shall we? Can you name the seven Scottish former Hearts or Hibs players with 100 or more English Premier League appearances this century? You so far have John McGinn, Stephen Fletcher, Robert Snodgrass, Gary Naismith and Stephen Naismith.
Are there Hearts and Hibs one?
You have one Hearts to go and one Hibs to go.
Right, I'll go as Gary Caldwell.
Gary Caldwell is a very good shout. 100 Premier League appearances on the dot for Gary Caldwell, which means you have the player with the most Premier League appearances. Played for two other Scottish clubs.
He played with Rangers, didn't he?
Played with Rangers, yes.
I don't know who it is. Played with Rangers and Hearts. But that's a
surprise.
His
spell down in England is where he played most of his football. Or certainly played for his club in England. He played for more than he did for Rangers
or
Hearts.
What club did he play for?
Everton. Central defender.
Davy
Weir is correct. Right, we will be back tomorrow, of course, give you all the reaction to the Edinburgh Derby and all the build up to tomorrow's matches. But it is Callum Gallagher who is up next.